You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is
I Will Make You a Millionaire, another episode helping someone reach their goal of making millions. This here is the second meeting with Paulo. He has several different approaches that I think are possible for him making $1 million, and we're going to go over it and talk over business models and pricing and execution and the different nuances involved. And so one idea is, can he make something that will generate Instagram followers for people without it being detected as a bot by Instagram? So we get heavy into bot detection techniques. We also talk about AI, and if there's some ideas there, here's the podcast with Paulo. Skip the line, the text creator.
Oh, yeah. Did you check that?
Yeah. That was really good. It seems like there's something there where, I mean, I got so excited by that, and yet I don't know how to do it. Even with the links you sent me, it's not like I could, it's easy to figure out. There's something there right now. But tell me what's been going on this week. Like, what have you been working on?
Actually, so I got that model running. If you want to give me some sort of, kind of input sentence, I can get it to complete it and just send to you what it gives me.
Just with Skip the Line, the Skip the Line book?
Yeah. So what I did, basically, I trained this model on Skip the Line. And also, let me tell you, because I sent that to you a few days ago, it didn't work on it. I just tried some rough testing. But it was actually interesting to see how well it could pick up, like, the style.
Yeah.
Right? Because I do feel it was fairly similar to the way you write.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I'd still like to do a podcast with myself by feeding in maybe like a couple of my books and then interviewing myself. We'll do some text-to-speech thing. That would be huge. I wonder, even with Skip the Line, it might be enough. Like, what other text is in there that it knows that it has already trained itself on?
So my understanding is that it's trained on a very, very large set of, let's say, English text. Mm-hmm. And that makes it such that it, let's say, knows English well. So it's not like the model needs to learn English. It's very well, it knows English very well. But then the kind of way I train the model is that I take the pre-trained model and you fine-tune it, right? To just become more attuned to, like, the writing style in this case.
Right.
So there's other ways to train this model. Like, you could specify it on, now the way I'm training it is to do text completion. So you give it a prompt and it fills it out.
Right.
Other ways could be teach it to answer specific questions that it's learned from the corpus of text.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, I could probably use it right now to do a podcast. Jay, is there a text-to-speech thing that we could do? Like some kind of weird computer speech?
Okay, actually, what I have been doing a little bit last couple of days, I couldn't finish it because it was a bit too computationally intensive. But I did try to see if I could take a model and train it to speak like you. So I think that should be feasible. Basically, trained on one of your audiobooks.
Yeah,
because you're the one reading them, right? So from then and all the transcript, it's something that should be feasible. So I see that a combination of, let's say, this model that does the text generation in your style, plus something that does the talking in your style. It was so, you know, the way I've done it now is that I've worked only so much on it, but it seems to be something that would be fairly possible to do.
That's funny. Well, yeah, that was very, very interesting experiment to see. And then, what's been going on this week? How have you been doing? What have you been thinking about?
So I kind of took your advice and did a bunch of, general thinking about possible, expansions or things related. And then also a lot of some of the work that I did was more like specific on what I've done so far. One of the things I tried to do was looking into the expansion for different platforms of this whole automation, of the whole automation part. That came out to be, from my research, a bit challenging. Looks like it's most systems are quite against automation, apart from Twitter. Twitter seems to be the one that has clear APIs where you can just basically make a bot account that can interact in any way, but that's fully, Instagram approved. Twitter approved.
Right, so Instagram is not okay, but this is why you were doing the bot recognition. I mean, the bots, yes. Fooling the things that were trying to recognize bots.
Yes. So I did some more testing about that this week as well. And lowering the, for example, the frequency of commenting, and that worked a little bit. It seemed like to be working fine. But then all of a sudden, from one day to the other, I started getting blocked much more often.
Wow.
Which I feel must be something that has happened on the kind of Instagram algorithm. Because things have been going great for months now, and from one day to the other, using pretty much the same parameters or even more favorable parameters that would be less easy to identify, I got blocked a few times. So I kind of feel it's I was a bit of the at the mercy of the algorithm.
Right.
This week.
Yeah, I wonder. What do you think it? I wonder, are you using different IP addresses and stuff? Does it recognize your IP address?
So what I've noticed, there's something that has to do with that. Yes, definitely IP addresses. So I tried doing it directly from my my computer, but also I tried using the connection from my phone. Mm-hmm. That seems to work a little bit better.
I wonder if it recognized your computer's IP address as being potentially a bot.
Yes, I think that's definitely the case. However, I've done a bunch of testing, just logging in and logging off and logging back on again, logging off of all the devices that you're currently logged in with. It does seem to work and to prevent additional blocking, but it doesn't seem to be consistent.
If it doesn't work as a bot and people can't really use it, there's a risk. We were thinking kind of the manual stuff of,
yep.
We know it works manually, right? Because you've done it manually and you've gotten, 80,000, how many followers have you gotten doing it manually?
A lot of it I've done through my code, right? And yeah. So the system working completely automatically. The thing is that it's manual in the sense that it needs my support constantly, right? Or every few days I would need to check, right?
Right.
I got 11K or something like that.
Why do you think that account wasn't shut down?
Well, that's the thing, right? The account is not shut down, but it gets blocked for, it depends on how much you do it. It could be for, at times it's one day, at times it's 1 hour. At the times where I was doing the most experimental stuff, I could get blocked for 1 or 2 weeks.
I see. So it wouldn't get shut down. It would just get blocked.
No. Yeah. I've never gotten shut down. I don't even know what that would take.
And what was the best strategy to avoid blocking, do you think? Like, what was the longest period of time where it wasn't blocked? What were you doing?
A combination of going slow, basically, not overfeeding it, and overriding comments. When there was a period of maybe a couple of months where I could run it for maybe 8 hours a day. It would run 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the evening, and it would be fine. But for example, right now it's running with the same parameters and got blocked. So this tells me that there's something on the Instagram side where they're actually looking at, they're changing the ways of finding out if there's a bot, for example.
Also, I think, if you were blocked once, you're probably likely to get blocked again. Like probably you're on a list. There's probably an extra algorithm for the accounts that have been blocked already.
Yeah, that could raise some flag.
But you know that if you were doing it as a human, like no computer other than being notified and maybe having some prompts delivered to you, but then you modify them and put it, you know that won't get blocked at all.
Yes. I think unless excessive amount of manual actions are done, because I still know for example, people that have done everything manually and yet get blocked. However, that there will be extreme amounts of interactions, because in the same way, Instagram doesn't want even people to do too much stuff in a short time, right? If I were in a period of 1 hour to, let's say, like and comment 1,000 pictures, that would not be considered as an appropriate behavior.
Right. And the people that have been locked out, my guess is, they were probably just cutting and pasting.
Well, that's likely. But also, I feel it's simply,
because how could you do 1,000 in an hour?
Yes, that's true. That would take one emoji.
Yeah. Let's just think about this for a second. So, forget the software part. If you were to say, as a service, you were an agency, and you said, "Look, I could get you up to 100,000 followers from zero," what would you do? I mean, you would basically get a bunch of people, like a farm in India, to do what the software does.
Yes.
I wonder if we can experiment doing that, like using Fiverr or somewhere to find like a bunch of people in the Philippines or India.
Yeah.
And take a sample account and even have them post photos, find the best photos of food, have them post it, have them do, for me. And we could just test that and see if, as a service, it works. Because people would be willing to pay a couple $1,000 to have an account go from zero to 100,000 followers. Because it's worth it to pay $2,000 to do that. I would pay $2,000 to do that. I mean, not necessarily in this way. I like to do it. I like to make the comments and then I know for sure that I'm really responding directly to the thing. But a lot of people who have just random food Instagram accounts and so on would probably be willing to pay.
Yeah, I think that could be done. Even actually probably starting, because one of the things you were mentioning was kind of the curation part, right? And I did look into that a little bit. So a combination of having some sort of a repost account that curates the content. So it could be a combination of that plus very consistent, commenting to make sure there's enough interactions.
Yeah. In general, how is your coding? Like, what languages do you know? And what would you say is the most complicated project you've coded?
Oh, well, mainly what I do is Python at the moment.
Okay, Python. And so making databases is pretty easy. Using APIs are pretty easy. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Some basic data crunching, statistics stuff is easy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And your interest is ultimately having an app that does the exact same thing. And this way, it's kind of making money while you sleep. You don't have to do it yourself.
Yes, 100%, right? But
I'm just curious if I'm just curious if what people would actually pay for this. And that's why I'm curious to do it manually. And even in your initial letter, you said it was feasible to potentially do it manually. And I wonder, you think you could train someone in Bangladesh or a farm in Bangladesh to do this?
Yes, in general, it does not seem to be anything too crazy.
And then I wonder what if they're all logged into your account, would that be, or a account, would that be noticeable by Instagram? Or can they all spoof being, that would be noticeable.
I think you'd make need to make sure that a single person is logged into a finite number of accounts, and or either making sure they're different, using different connections.
Or you just hire one person per one client.
Per one account, yes. Yeah. So, which right. in the, yeah, they're, yes.
Because that might be, you know, still they will do more than you or the client would have been able to do by yourself because this was their job. They're doing it all day.
Yes.
I wonder if we can try that using Fiverr. Like you basically just give the person, you know, you tell them food and you give them like 100 comments, but tell them to rewrite each time. We try it on a sample account that has like 10 followers and they could even pick every, they should actually post photos 3 times a day. Like take the best photos from anywhere on Instagram. So it could be like a curated account, like, you know, best food photos ever, whatever. It could be called whatever. I think that's worth trying just to see, A, what the results are. So this way you could document the results. Like we made this many comments on these many accounts and we went from 10 followers to 100,000 followers in 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. So once we document it, then you can go to anybody and sell this as a service. And then once you know it's viable as a service, then you could say to yourself, okay, working on an app or some kind of software to automate this might be worth it. Like it may be the case that, you know, slowing it down and combining GPT-3 so that, or GPT-2 so that the comments are unique each time, you know, that may, and maybe, again, I don't know if Instagram is looking at cut and paste or maybe they might notice when something's cut and pasted a lot as opposed to typed out. I don't know. On the mobile app, they probably know that, but maybe not. I don't know. They probably don't see anything until submit is hit.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah. So it might be just a matter of varying the comments and doing it at human times. That's the other thing we could track with the Bangladesh guy is basically, you know, I don't know if you could do this through software or he just tells you, but, you know, how many comments and accounts per minute or hour has he been able to do? And if he's not blocked, then we know that software could do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Although there's always a problem that, I'm not sure there would be a direct translation of human to software, right? Because the sheer fact that it's done by a human is different when it's done by software.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of the whole idea why I realize that, you know, at times I get caught is because it's not done by a human, right? So I do think that a human doing it at a reasonable pace, so at a human pace, then... That would not cause any major problems. But once the automation gets into it 100%, then what I've seen is that it can be done for some amount of time until it can, right? And that is, it's something that needs to be tuned.
Yeah, and, again, we use the example from human. I see what you're saying, but maybe there's a way to just if we see their exact heuristics of how they're doing it, and they don't get blocked, and you do program it. I wonder if you'll just get blocked less frequently, or you know. And again, we haven't tried. Like I love that Shantaram captions that you have on your Instagram account. I wonder if you can use that to generate comments because I don't think that would be. Those are so detailed and interesting. I doubt those would get blocked.
Oh, yeah, no. Also, I think that they're a bit different because I kind of wanted them to be like kind of caption, like almost short stories, right? Then it would be more my reason for doing that.
But imagine a comment is a short story about food.
Yeah.
like you post on a picture of a pizza, you know, when I was in India, I had a pizza at the ashram. And you know, because it was, you know, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if that's interesting. I wonder, in this way you'd get more insightful comments and the comments might get more engagement. You actually might get more followers more quickly.
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely an option. That's something I've not looked into it. What I actually did is train one of these models to write food reviews.
Ah, that's interesting.
At some point, what I did was this. I took maybe a few thousand food reviews, but food reviews as from Instagram posts, right? So someone goes to a restaurant, they eat food, then write the review, right? I taught the model on a few to learn from a few thousand of those. And then I would write, this evening I tried this, raviolis from this Italian restaurant, and it would just fill out the whole review.
Yeah. I wonder, like, if someone has a picture of ravioli, I wonder if you can make that a comment.
I think it could. Yeah.
Because what I'm thinking is, like, what's a sample comment that the computer generates?
Well, the comments would be something in the style of what I taught it. So it would be maybe a one or two sentences, which is some kind of random appreciation for it, for the food. I can actually look. So I have the working app on my phone. So I can just look at what it would tell me. So these are, okay, so I looked up fried chicken. It would be something like, that fried chicken looks gorgeous. Well, this I don't even know where it comes from, but it says, that's a lot of fried chicken to eat in my dreams.
Oh my God.
But see, that's the thing, right? Because I feel these are the kind of comments that someone would write and, you know, they're not super long, they're not super short. Right, something original that could totally come off as, made by a person.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I think the next, if you were pursuing this, what I would do is hire someone in Bangladesh or India or the Philippines to do this manually. So this way we at least see if humans never get blocked, then we could track, maybe we even try it with two or three countries and two or three accounts. And this way you could build up a statistical argument that yes, this technique works. And I went from 0 to 100K followers in an average of, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. And so then, you know, and then you could start to see, okay, well, what would people be willing to pay for this service? And then all you have to do is just set them up. You're the middleman between the client and Bangladesh.
Yep.
And so at the very least, we know that the idea is a business. And then from there, we can go from service to software as a service. And I think that's like the best approach here.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know if you'd be into that. I mean, you mentioned hiring someone in Bangladesh as an alternative, but I think this gives you more nuances into how the app could work. And we might learn some things. And then we also learn if it's a viable business.
Yes. So I think this makes sense. Definitely something I was thinking about, right? Basically trying to deferring all the work to someone in Bangladesh, do it and like see what the effect of it is.
Yeah. Because we don't really know if we do full force manual, everything manual, we don't really know what the results are yet. And we only know what the results are with the semi-automated, and it still gets blocked occasionally.
But yes, that is true. Although I think part of the work that I've mostly been doing to build this app so far, so the actual working app that I have, I'm not talking about the bot, okay? Right. That I know for sure that it works, it doesn't get blocked, and it also does provide a reasonable service.
And the app is the one where instead of automatically cutting and pasting, it just provides the comments, and you pick one and you could rewrite a little bit and so on.
Yes. And I'm so for that, I do feel it's it works very well. In the sense that when I personally am not using my bot, okay, that is on my laptop, but I just want to use Instagram, my phone, and write comments, it's, you know, I wouldn't write the comments by hand anymore. I would definitely use the app. Like, I can definitely see how it makes things way, way easier.
And you're saying, I remember last time you said it's 15% of the time as...
Yes.
So, okay, this is great.
I just came up with a way to make it even faster.
Oh, yeah. Because how would you do that?
Since I have already very good comments, okay, and I know that the comments are mostly good, I built in the option for someone not to pick the comment, but to have the app pick a random comment. Okay. Ah. And I have to say, this not only makes it much faster, because you would have to say, you know, pizza, and instead of choosing between all the comments, you get one at random, but also it makes it fun to see what comment comes up.
Yeah. And if you post the same comment on multiple accounts, like how many, I wonder if you could generate, if there's a way to generate thousands of comments.
That's so I think thousands of comments for each category. I mean, technically it's possible. I feel it could be almost, in a sense, overwhelming for the user.
Well, what I'm saying is, at least in the database for each category, yep, there's thousands of comments, and that could be GPT generated. And then it picks one randomly out of that.
Yes.
I think what you want to avoid is just posting the same comment three times in 1 hour.
Yes, but I feel that wouldn't happen. That would not happen. Because if I think of from the point of view of the user, so let's say me as a user when I've been using it, okay? Let's say the way you'd use this app is that, I'm in some sort of a wannabe influencer, right? I want people to interact with me. So what I do is I interact with them, right? Expecting reciprocity.
Yeah.
This is something that it's a bit boring, yeah, though, because, you know, you can only write so many comments. So the way you'd use the app is that you'd be on your sofa watching Netflix, okay? And while you're doing it, you're scrolling Instagram, and this app lets you do maybe 3 or 4 taps for each photo and immediately write a comment. So it'd be something that you're doing without thinking, and you're doing all this kind of boring work, which is the commenting and the interaction that you're doing just to get something back.
I love it. So, and with the app, for some reason, it has not gotten blocked.
This doesn't get blocked. It's because in the end, it's done by a person.
I wonder how Instagram tells, like, how, what is the randomizing factor that Instagram says, okay, moving on?
You know, I'm not sure. I think simply because a person would do things in such a, in a more like person-like way, in the sense that, like I said, if I were doing it while I'm watching Netflix, you know, you do it in a row for 5 minutes and then stop doing it for 6 hours, right? And then, you watch another TV show and this is 40 minutes instead of 20 minutes. So you do it for 10 minutes, let's say. So I think there could be some sort of, let's say, clustering of comments that are together. Then it could be, especially if you're using Instagram, you'd probably look at different things, right? Maybe you'd switch from one app to the other. And then, whereas the code would only be, always be on Instagram. I could see things that I could pick up. And that's why I kind of thought the current iPhone app that I have kind of mediates between the two things, because it's not affected by Instagram wanting to stop bots, because it's not a bot, but it has the advantage that it makes the commenting and the interaction part extremely quick. And yeah. Because I've also talked with a bunch of people that actually, people in the same niche, right, that do food Instagram. People with maybe even 1-2,000 to maybe the tens of thousands of followers would spend 3 or 4 hours a day on it.
Yeah. And so this way, if they spend 20 minutes or 10 minutes a day for the same results,
exactly. That is that.
Spend 3 hours, but they have like 100 times the results, 10 times the results.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly why the whole idea of coming up with this, like, it came to me because for 1 or 2 days, I spent 1 hour writing comments. And to me, it was, I could not put up with it. You know, how can you, it's something so menial, right? And I didn't want to do it. So I said, how can I make it quick? And this app seemed to be the option that would make things the easiest, both from the user point of view, so that you can do things extremely quick, but also it's basically impossible to get caught. Or if you got blocked using the app, it would be exactly the same as someone writing comments by hand, getting caught, blocked, which can happen, right? But it only happens with extreme use, right? If someone writes 1,000 comments one after the other, or you like hundreds of pictures, then you get blocked. But that would be not caused by the automation. It would be caused by the excessive use.
And when you were doing full automation, how many comments were you making an hour?
I would probably do, because of course the idea is that you need to be slow, right? I could do maybe, let me think. When my model was well tuned with, let's say the Instagram algorithm, and I wasn't getting blocked, I could do around maybe 400 likes and 300 comments in a day.
And that wouldn't get blocked?
That wouldn't get blocked. However, after a few months, it got blocked without changing any parameters.
So I wonder if, A, you go, 300 comments. I mean, even 30 comments in an hour is a lot, right? Like if you were doing it manually, you would maybe do 5 comments in an hour.
It would depend on
or 10 comments.
On the quality of the comments, but yes.
I think the full automation is still worth pursuing, actually, mm-hmm. because 300 comments, that seems ridiculous. That's like 5 comments a minute. And you're doing all the likes. That's totally a bot. Like, I don't know any human that could type that fast.
Yeah. Like, definitely. Yes. Especially you or nobody that would spend the whole day doing it. What I said is that they would do 400 comments in one day.
In one day.
Yes. Otherwise, that would be clear because it's impossible, right?
You can
write that. So, yeah.
Okay.
From a performance point of view, it's not a problem. You can tell it to do however many you want, right? But to not get caught, it would be 400 done in maybe 8 hours. So 50 per hour. Yeah, 50 per hour likes. That's still a lot.
Okay, yeah. So here's some changes, I think, that are easy to make. So let's just say at most 100 comments a day, which is still more than the average human would do, right? Yep. Like you would never do manually 100 comments in a day. That would be so boring. And then you do that and you're doing that every day, but it might be below the radar. And then I would have it randomly, spread it out at random time frames. So you know that in an 8-hour period, you're going to do 100 comments. It just uses a random number generator to pick, somewhere between 0 and 60 seconds. Somewhere between 60 and 120 seconds. Mm-hmm. Maybe somewhere between 60 and 300 seconds. So 1 to 5 minutes, it randomly mm-hmm. does it. Because you probably don't have a randomizer in there right now, right?
Yeah. It's already doing it random weights.
But how long are the weights?
It's actually, even that is random.
So does it ever wait 5 minutes?
Yeah. It'll wait 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. What's the fastest though?
I think it would be probably maybe 30 seconds.
Okay. So I would just maybe just up that a little bit.
Because I don't think the and also the gestures it makes are quite like human-like. You wouldn't, pick up a bunch of links and then just go to the link as if a computer would. It's all about, go to this page, click on, where would a person click, right? Where would, which steps would you do one at a time?
Yeah, so if the lowest you've tried is 400 comments in a day or 300 comments in a day, and it took several months before you got blocked, how long did you get blocked for that time?
It depends, maybe not too long, maybe a few days. But what I actually noticed was that, especially what happened like very recently, is that even lowering the times, then the blocks would be so much more kind of random and frequent.
Oh, lowering the times made the blocks more frequent?
Well, after I got blocked. Because I kind of feel that recently some the way they were detecting a bot changed, right? So because of that, even decreasing the parameter, it would still make it so that it would be likely, more likely to get caught, to be detected as a bot. And so
I think my guess is that once a bot, always a bot is their philosophy. So if an account uses a bot, it's probably put on a list. I mean, there's a billion accounts. So if they check everything all the time, they probably focus on the ones that are most likely to be a bot. So it's almost like start off with a new account and with a different IP address. So like use a VPN or something like that, or get a different IP address somehow. You don't have to use Bangladesh yet. I think actually back to the app, I think let's make the app work. This app is going to work. Like how many when you were doing 300 comments a day, how long did it take for the account to get blocked? Like you said, several months. How many months specifically?
I think maybe 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I think 100 comments. And how long did it take you to get to 11,000 followers? Was this the account that got 11,000 followers?
Yes.
How long did that take?
A few months, maybe 3 or 4 months.
Right. So is that...
And then there, of course, there's a bit more than that, right? Because, of course, it's going to matter how much you post, the quality of the post. But let's say the interaction part, that was 100% taken care of. To the extent that, even in action by me and every... And let's say not posting would still lead to... followers growth just by the code running.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period. And I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours. And they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Can the app be set up also to post so that you have, it, you know, again, like we talked last time, it finds, you know, all the best pictures and it posts them. So by finding a best picture, maybe it finds pictures with lots of likes or whatever, and then it just reposts them and it gives attribution, like, and it's kind of like a curated, like, food photo of the day.
So I've not been able to do the posting yet. No.
There are apps that allow sharing. On Instagram, it's a little complicated, I feel. Like, it's a couple steps, and maybe that's why it's complicated. It's not in the API, right? So you have to, I don't know what these apps do. But maybe those apps have an API, I don't know. Because if you could just automate the whole thing, and then a guy comes back 2 months later, and he's got 100,000 followers, that would be valuable. Like,
yes. I mean, that's something that I thought about, right? Because of course that would be kind of the missing link to have an account that would do everything, the posting. But I think I was looking into it and I did find a method that worked up to like a year ago, but then something got changed and it wouldn't work anymore.
Yeah. So there's something called Loomly.com, which allows you to schedule posts, but then,
but my understanding is that those apps, because I've looked into those as well, they let you schedule, but they don't do the actual posting. I feel they give you, at least the ones I found, they give you a reminder to post. And then you go to the app, you click, and it's going to open the app in Instagram and let you post. But it wouldn't be the ones I found 100% automated.
So really what we're talking about is we want to reshare posts. And so there's something called repost. I wonder if it has a... Yeah, so uploading via the API is not possible.
Yeah, that's what when I was looking into it, it didn't seem like possible like that. I did find some trick that worked for some time, but then they patched it or they made it. Because I think in some, even the the web version as opposed to the app version as like limited capabilities.
Let me ask you, I'm jumping around a little bit, but you also mentioned this might be interesting for Tinder as well.
Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the kind of next steps. And this would be specifically for the actual app that I've done, the commenting app. Like when I say app, I mean the phone app to write comment. You know why? And I already have a kind of prototype version of that. Okay, yeah. It's not for the app, but it's for the Chrome extension. I think I showed you the Chrome extension as well.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's so much potential here. And it's like, okay, let's say on Instagram, we can't figure it out right now, except for maybe we could try, maybe you could try just as an experiment, a new account, new IP address, and at most 100 comments a day, and just randomizing as much as possible. And just try it just to see. Maybe you get the same number of followers because maybe you don't need 300 comments a day. Maybe 100 is enough if you if you select really the best accounts or whatever. And just one last thing on the Instagram one. Last time we looked into potentially finding accounts that are trending upwards, but that might be hard to do. I don't know.
Yeah, so I thought a little bit about it as well. That I think what's possible to do is like, set up some code that would do kind of daily scraping of different hashtags, like very specific, right?
Yeah.
It could be, it's like, now, of course, everything I'm thinking is food related just because I've been looking at those things. And just from that, look at, basically see if you can get, let's say some ratio of likes of a post of to the number of followers, right? So you'd see that if this ratio is higher than the norm, they would be saying this person usually doesn't get a lot of likes, got so many more. It must be some sort of up-and-coming Instagrammer. So maybe it could be someone who's on the rise.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, but maybe, though, to really test this out. So you've never tested out at most 100 comments a day?
I think I've done that before. I'd say it would still be worthwhile have it like test and see if it gets blocked.
Yeah, yes. And don't do 30 seconds. Do at least like a minute or two, or a random time between 1 and 5 minutes.
Yep.
And what's another thing that you haven't randomized that we could randomize? Well, definitely a comment should never be repeated twice in 1 week.
Yep.
Maybe something like that. Or maybe a comment should never be repeated. I don't know. Is that possible?
I suppose, yeah. It could be possible.
I guess that's why I'm saying if the text generator could generate new comments all the time, okay, if you're just doing it with one account and if you don't, at least you don't repeat once every 2 days, maybe that's good enough. Because how many hashtags are you set up for?
I look for around maybe 300 different foods.
Okay. So yeah. So, and if you have 30 comments for each hashtag, probably in a day or two, you're not going to repeat, and you could have maybe some code that it doesn't repeat.
That is something I thought about, because even if you, the amount of comments I would have would be in the tens of thousands.
Yeah. But with fewer comments a day though, and it's probably easier to write some code so it doesn't repeat comments.
Yep, that could be done.
And if it runs out of comments for pizza, then it waits like 3 days before it looks for pictures with the pizza hashtag.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm curious of if this could be automated for Tinder. So like a guy doesn't really a guy could do it manually on his own, right? But maybe he just wants to swipe on everybody, put comments, and then at the end of the day, see who commented back, and then he decides.
Yes.
So
that
like,
could be, I think that could be done and it would be even easier.
And you know, like you could take their profile as the, I don't know how Tinder works. Does someone make a comment that's like a starting point? Like does the woman?
You'd have to be matching first. And after that, you can make a comment. You can start conversation, right?
And you could see her profile and her comments?
Yes.
So then you could use the Shantaram, maybe combined with a book like The Five Love Languages or something like that, like to train it on like a book that's deep, and then a book that's about relationships, and just automatically generate. And then, of course, and then you're responding to her first comment. I wonder if that's worth trying.
Yeah, I could try and see what, like, to train the model on some book.
Yeah,
and see what comes out.
Because, like, you know, that app, like Super Tinder, that app probably would be huge.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Definitely. I wonder if, I mean, it's likely that there would be some limiting behavior there as well. But in general, yeah. So yeah. I can tell you what I've done already.
Uh-huh.
This was kind of a proof of work for the idea was this. You saw this there, that Chrome extension, right?
Yeah.
So the Chrome extension is the same of how the app on the phone I have works, right? Gives recommendations. In the case was for food. But basically, I found a bunch of websites with pickup lines, okay, and scraped everything, okay? So that you could say whatever word, basically, and it would give you a pickup line for that, related to that. Like, you see, oh, this girl is an architect, so you just type architect, and it gives you 10 pickup lines addressed to architects.
I see.
So that would make the, let's say, the first line, let's say, pickup line, like a solved problem.
So let me see. If I search pickup lines for architects, I'm just curious. 50 plus architect pickup lines. Can you help me subdivide my property? Do you live 500 feet away from an elementary school? Because I like to establish some adult uses at your place.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you know what, though? I like the Chantaram addition to this somehow, because it's so different. But okay, so you use this, and have you tested it out even as the semi-manual?
Yeah, I've tested it, but I mean, not to say the how well it would work like on the actual app.
I think, like, set up a fake Tinder account and run this and just see at the end of the day how many people give a response to your comments that it's favorable.
Yeah.
Because then that's all guys care about. Then they could really swipe and say, okay, I like this girl, I don't like this girl, I like this girl, and so on. I mean, it's interesting that it's like you can use this type of thing for Instagram, posting reviews, Tinder comments, Facebook comments. So, like, something that takes, like, I hate, like, saying, you know, happy birthday to everyone who's got a birthday. Just take care of all the basic Facebook needs, you know, that someone has. Like, you know, oh, marriage, baby, oh, it's a beautiful baby, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And Instagram and Tinder are good, like, places to start. And then maybe even TikTok later. TikTok would be great. And then I really like this idea of being like almost a service business. You could set up bots for people who do podcasts. You could reach, I mean, there's 2 million podcasts. You could set up bots for podcasts or for, I don't know. It's such an interesting thing, like, that you could do with this. I mean, I guess anybody with access to GPT-2 can do it, but it would be nice to integrate the GPT-2 stuff with the Tinder and Instagram app. But I wonder if that would get more interaction and engagement, particularly on Tinder.
Yeah, that could be an option. Although I feel, you'll probably get a good first message. But, you know, I'm not sure if that's enough. It's definitely a good start.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what people want. But yeah. So I mean, overall, kind of my thinking behind this is that for the specific automation part, in general, there are like the three levels that we kind of discussed. That's one is fully automatic, one is partially automatic, and third is service.
Yeah, and the whole point of the service is to document that how it works and to prove that it works and get some data about it. And it might teach you one or two things you need for the app. So I would try this out officially on Tinder automatically, fully automatic. And again, you know, slow and random, but this way, I mean, I've never used Tinder, so I don't know how it works, but I guess you have the API for Tinder, so you could figure out how to use it to make it seem like a human. And then do the on Tinder, but at most 100 comments a day, and maybe just more random and not repeating comments.
But also I think, so for Tinder, there's limits on how many people you can like see every day, right? That's because they want to charge you more for the app, right? So I think you can only see, I don't know, 20 people a day.
Oh, you can only swipe?
Yes. So you can only do so much for the automation. The automation, I think, that's probably the part where most of the value would come from, the originality of the lines, not from the quantity.
Right, I see. Although, how much does it cost to do 50 swipes a day?
I'm not sure. I suppose it's going to be between, I don't know, $5 and $10 a month or something like that, I suppose.
Why don't you set it up like on the fake account you use? Why don't you set it up so you can do as many as possible that's reasonable?
Yeah.
Even if it's $20 a month. And then it would just be interesting to see if it works, because that's something I could get press for. I mean, that's fascinating. And then you could start playing around maybe with the AI stuff. That's even more fascinating. That you'll be on TV press and then this will spread. And there's nothing that Tinder can do to stop it, because if you really randomize it and use AI and so on, they're never going to detect the bots. And then using that skip the line GPT-2 stuff, if I were to ask a question, how fast before it could respond?
So, at the moment, it's not trained to answer questions, right? So it will do completion. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's ways to train it to do answering of questions. Right.
Well, I wonder if a question can be formed as a sentence that needs completion. So I could say, James, the best movies ever made are, and then it completes. So if I just form every question as a completion. And I could explain that at the beginning, like that's how it works. But I'd like to try that out. Do you think, is there a way we can?
So I feel I had it going earlier. I think it got restarted. If you, while we talk in like 5 minutes or so, it can be running and I can get it to complete stuff. It wouldn't take long. So, and the way here it's run, it's also, I suppose there could be more performance, better performance ways to do it, but it would take just a few seconds when it's already trained to just answer.
Yeah, and also, like, if it's a little slow, we could edit out silences and stuff like that. That would be so interesting. So I'd really like to do that, and that would be good that would get some press for what you're doing as well. So I'm out of town next week. But the week after next, maybe let's do a meeting and let's do a podcast with the skip the line thing. If we could find a text-to-speech thing. And the text-to-speech doesn't have to sound like me. It could sound, I think it's more interesting if it sounds like an AI. You know, kind of like.
Yeah, that's true. That would give.
Yeah.
I can try to look into what I can do for this. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think you could play around with the Instagram? So again, it's the at most 100, 100 or 80 comments a day. And let's just see what happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Slower random time frames. Just trying to figure out like what humans do. It also is going to look at, does it know if you're scrolling on the feed? Maybe it doesn't know that. How does it find posts?
Basically looking at hashtags. I give it a list of hashtags to go through.
Yeah, I see.
And it looks, basically it goes through the hashtag page and it selects the pages at random.
So it can't,
post.
Does the API allow you to just see what's on the feed?
So this is not done through an API.
Oh, right. So how do you get the post from the hashtag? You're scraping?
Basically, it's like searching.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if that is a red flag when it looks for hashtags as opposed to just going on the feed. Oh, but you're getting...
I can have it go over the feed as well.
But you know what? That's also part of what I do as well. You know what you could do too is just have like follow 1,000 accounts and you're going to have notifications constantly.
Yeah, so I can... Yeah. That's another thing that I've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And does the app look for notifications?
No.
I wonder if the app can specifically look for notifications or... Oh, no, you don't need to look for notifications. The notifications will happen. I mean, is the app... The apps communicate... How would the app...
So I'm thinking how to do that because, for example, in order to have the app work completely, I'm using some sort of public GitHub repository to do part of the interactions. And then I'm, augmenting it through my tricks, let's say.
Yeah.
So I would have to say either what is available in this kind of public repository or how I could augment it, let's say.
Yeah. Because maybe it's looking for people who search too many hashtags.
That could be one as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I would try to figure out how to get around that. So it's just you get access to the notifications and that's more a normal human behavior.
Mm. Yeah, that could be that as well. Also, I had, the kind of a random idea that I had when thinking about all of this was, is there any way to, this is completely different, right? But it has to do marginally with food, to create NFTs for food related stuff.
Let me look into that. That's an interesting idea.
And what I thought about is two things, because for my understanding is that the value of NFT is people that like to be the owner of something.
Yeah.
Right. That's that. There's nothing like intrinsic, right? So it could be either, like I was thinking, what if a high-end restaurant wants to make a one-off menu? Right?
Yeah.
You have the chef makes this menu, they make it one time and you sell it as an NFT. So someone has, okay, they have the experience of the dinner, but also they can say, oh, I'm the owner of this menu.
Yeah, I like that. That's an interesting idea.
Because it's kind of the same, right? Some people like with all the NBA stuff, they just like having, I don't know, Michael Jordan dunking. Okay. You know, of course, you can watch the video on YouTube and everything, right? So I kind of feel that it's all about ownership. So someone who's really into that could say, oh, you know, there's this very fancy restaurant. The chef is so good and they've made this menu or this dish and I'm the only one that has it. And at the same level, another thing, I thought recipes. It sounds absurd, but think of if you have a famous chef, okay, who's written like a recipe and the recipe is in the book, right? But you could have sell the recipe as an NFT. So, and someone would say, oh, I'm the owner. I actually own Gordon Ramsay recipe for beef Wellington.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I kind of feel that for the right audience, someone will be into it because I kind of seeing myself being into it, right? It's not like I would go and spend a lot of money for it, but you know, it's all about the extremes. Like even now, I keep seeing like people on Twitter buying these NFTs that are just pictures of pixelated pictures of people, like icons, right? And they're spending like, you know, $50K on that.
Yeah, I know. It's
like, I'm
wondering if the trend is going to continue.
20 Ethereums.
I'm wondering if the trend is going to continue on NFTs. I'm not totally sure, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I'm not sure, but I do see it as something that could be interesting. That, you know, some people just want to own things. For someone who's really into cooking, it could be an option. Yeah. I could even imagine, like, you know, a recipe book that's completely written and published, but you just retake all the recipes, create an NFT for each of them. And if you have kind of the, let's say, approval of the author in some way, you can have, sell all of them. And who wouldn't like if you think, because in the end, if you think of famous enough chefs, they're basically celebrities. People like celebrities and maybe like owning something by a celebrity.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm thinking it out in a couple different domains. Like if if like Magnus Carlsen, the world chess champion, were to play a game of chess and he has the score sheet, even if it's in digital form, and he puts his analysis on it, that could be an NFT. Like, oh, this was the game that won him the world championship and his comments on it.
Yeah, this would be exactly it.
That's interesting.
So for example, with this app that I've been working on now, I'm actually very close to having something that I could like put in the store.
I like the idea of the fully automated. I think people would definitely see the value and would be willing to pay for it. Mm. So I think that's the only thing, is that maybe it's worth just seeing if the fully automated one could be the app that you put in the store. Otherwise, let's try putting the manual one in, the semi-manual one, you know, the semi-automatic.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm thinking, because since I basically am very, very close to having something that is basically done, right? Could that be sort of the starting point and see if that's, you know, if that has any appeal or just to... If that could be like worthwhile, let's say... finishing as opposed to just waiting longer while I'm working.
Oh yeah, let's just see. It's always worth doing an experiment. Let's put it up in the app store if you can and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and this kind of helps you, like send me the description of the app when you have it, just to take a look and see, but that sounds like a good idea, good experiment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
All right, so let's chat in 2 weeks or before then. If there's something interesting, I'd love to hear if you post it in the app. I'll buy it and see the process myself. But let's that sounds good.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Okay, thanks a lot, Paulo. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.